Yeah. And this is the first official episode of the Hooligan and the Harrigan podcast.
Hooligan and the Harrigan.
What did I just say?
Harrigan.
All right. Episode one.
And you've had a sip of alcohol. Butchered.
Not a sip.
Already.
Not even nothing.
Fucking it up. Alcohol is bad for your brain. Hooligan
and the Harrigan. So before we kind of get going here, this is, we're a little rusty. We haven't recorded in like a month between you and I. So
for legitimate reasons.
Right. But give everybody a little bit of a background on the podcast. So what I'm going to do is, this is the first episode of the new Hooligan and the Harrigan podcast, but I'm going to co-release them on Cornerstone page and the new one for the first couple episodes. And then everything will be just on the new podcast platform. So new Instagram page is out, set up the Facebook page soon. And
our
then,
friggin' graphic is right? awesome.
It's badass. I need to, that is going to be our sign that's going to be up there soon. And then I'm going to have Ryan
stickers.
And Will from Constructive Solutions, one of our sponsors. He is going to be making, they made these rad signs, the AIM Strength one and our Cornerstone one over here.
If you're watching, you can see them.
Yes. And
you can also see me bundled in two sweatshirts and boots with the fur and a heater on my legs because we're in our garage in Montana and it's 43 degrees.
I know. Outside. We got this badass logo. We're in t-shirts and muscles going. And then like we're all fucking bundled up. And
it's so cool. But we'll I love it. I love seasons. Yeah. I'm not going to lie. It's the best part about living here.
So this is the first official episode on the new platform. And before I start getting ripped, because I already have been getting ripped.
You have?
Yeah. They're like, she's not an old woman. She's not a hack. She's not a nag. Okay. I've had about three or four people messaging
first
me.
Of all,
Denver was one.
This name is my pick.
Exactly. Thank you.
We
say that again. It was
we were driving
your
down
idea.
To California for my sister's wedding. And we had talked about just doing our own thing because our segment that we were doing on Cornerstone was getting a lot of downloads. So
yeah, getting some good interest.
I have a list. I should read the list. I should read the list of names that we have.
Oh, you made a list. I forgot.
Oh man, remember?
There were some good ones.
Oh. Okay. Okay, hold on. Okay, so the majority of these bad ones are mine, just so you know.
Like, I had a couple like
no
goofy ones.
Yeah, okay, so the first one I have on here, I wrote all of these down, is the creeper and the cunt. Again, this one I came up with.
I love that. There's some people from church that are going to be listening to this.
No, there aren't.
Yes, there is.
No.
Jason. Started listening to it.
No.
Some of the, I mean, we're also the new youth group leaders for the church. So.
Okay.
Go ahead. Names.
Then the one that Alex came up with was Strength and Chaos.
Strength and Chaos.
And I was like, meh, meh.
I was trying to incorporate your name, your business name. This is when we first started coming up with names.
No, this was driving in the car.
That's what I meant.
We had just passed like St. Regis. Yeah, so we could drive for like 2 hours.
With five kids.
The so next one is like naked 10. Is naked jujitsu. And I was like, hard pass. then we have butt touches.
So if you've listened to any of the first 8 or 9 episode segments we did together, butt touching is what we
call
refer to
doing it.
Yes, in front of the kids, not doing it in front of the kids. Jason, remember, it's
talk to your kids about sex. Don't have sex in front of the kids.
Exactly.
and then Alex's was strength in numbers because there's 7 of us in our family.
Did I come up with that one?
Mm-hmm. Huh. And then organized anarchy was the one that I came up with.
Organized anarchy. I was going to say organized chaos, but I'm sure there's like 100 podcasts named that out already.
And then the next one is, what'd you say?
Because our whole freaking house is.
And then the next one was House of Misunderstandings, which is still like a really legitimate one. Because when we lived in California, we had this house that we had everyone over to kind of all the time.
Yeah.
And I remember my brother was in the kitchen in our house and I was in the living room and I was saying something to him. I don't remember what it was. And he goes, bean sweat? What's bean sweat? I don't even remember what it was I was talking about. Another one was I'd gotten this like fancy sheep's cheese and it was called Petite Basque
cheese.
Oh, you
mean sheep's ass?
Sheep ass cheese was what everyone else heard. And then the second to the bottom is the Hooligan and the Harrigan. And then I looked up, I mean, I knew what it meant. And I, Alex, what does that mean? And so I looked it up for him to give him the direct definition. And yeah, it says like old, what is it? Like old crotchety, not really crotchety, but just like harpy is basically the essential meaning of it. Essentially what that means. And I thought it was, it's funny because I'm not old, but I can also be a hard ass. So there's that. And then the last one, the last one was a nod to therapy, assertive, not aggressive.
Right, because we're launching this new venture as we just started our couples therapy venture. So working on our old shit. So
which is
a lot.
So old. Yeah, so those were our names. So the Hooligan and the Harridan was mine. Yeah, I just liked
First I was like, what?
I liked the alliteration, the way that it fit. I felt, and Alex was like, I told him what the definition of hooligan was. He's like, I'm not a mischief maker. And I was like, okay, well, you don't know you very well.
Compared to other people I know.
Yeah, I don't know who you know.
You know who I know.
No.
What?
So I felt like that one kind of stuck and kind of stuck out to us. So that's what we decided to go with. And yeah, anybody who's been harassing Alex, he did not pick that. I actually had people be like, ha, I just Googled Harridan. Ha! Yeah.
I love that people have to look this up.
And I was like,
and that's so you. Yup. It's so like, you know, because how many times in our relationship have we been where you said something like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, what are you saying? Like,
probably one of our bigger or dumber fights.
That would go into dumber fights and topics. Yeah. But I was like, what are you saying? And you would tell me. I'm like, why don't you just say that? And you're like, I don't want you to get a dictionary, dumbass. Because I have to
say 15 words to say the one thing that I needed to say. Yeah.
I'm like, well, you married me, so there you go.
Yeah.
What was that? Okay. All right. So the Hooligan and the Harridan.
That's our new name. Yeah. I still like our first one.
What was it again? Something in cunt?
The creeper and the cunt.
First of all, why am I a creeper?
Because you're the king of creepers.
What?
Dude.
That's so
coming out of misleading. The dark. No, it isn't so misleading. What are you talking about? So accurate.
Protector, not creeper.
Okay. Creeper.
All right. So basically what we've been doing with the Q&A show has been the, you know, half hour of this banter, you know, fun back and forth between us, which I am surprised at how many people actually enjoy and laugh their asses off to that, which is cool. Cause it's just half ends up being a bunch of inside jokes between me and you.
Hashtag Dick and Balls are so inconvenient.
Go back and listen to last episode.
Not if you're in youth group or in the church.
Hey, it's labeled explicit. All right. So
yeah,
I have washed my hands of responsibility.
Ooh, okay.
It's on them. Right. So, hey, Elias still goes like, can I listen to your podcast? I'm like,
no.
Yes, but
no.
Well, depends on which episodes. Not mine and yours. He means like the podcast.
Oh, yours. Yeah, yeah, but yeah, not ours. No.
So, yeah. So a bit of banter, some fun, and then we got into some Q&A that you got from the interwebs.
You have some too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was mostly.
I got a lot of engagement from these questions. Yes. It was really fun to have like conversations with people.
Right. So now this one, what we're doing is we're going to switch up the format just a smidge. So instead of throwing questions out there, what we're going to do is we came up with
a list,
bunch of topics. I mean, how many topics?
10.
Do
we have 10.
We have 10 so far. Mm-hmm. And we're just going to keep adding to that. And then what we'll do is instead of putting questions out there to ask, like, directly towards Anna Maria or myself, it's more of like, you know, hey, what are some topics you'd like us to cover?
Or we'll ask a question.
Or throw a question out.
And we'll see what the answers are. Because that's what we did here is we asked two questions. Yep. And this episode is going to be, so we asked the biggest fight you've had with your partner and the dumbest fight you've had with your partner. And so we're going to cover the biggest fight on this episode. And then next week we'll cover the dumbest fight.
Yeah. Just to throw this out there anonymously.
All of these are going to remain anonymous. Yes,
unless somebody says they want.
Which nobody has. They're so all far, remaining anonymous.
But there was one person who submitted one for both categories. It was the biggest and dumbest in his opinion. And it was about firearms. So he's obviously pro firearm. His spouse was not.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It's under both. That's biggest and dumbest.
So we'll cover his opinion. That one. Yeah. So, we'll cover that one.
So today we're going to do biggest argument.
Yeah, and then next one, the dumbest.
So should we throw? Because
I have 8 responses for biggest, and I have 8 or 9 for dumbest.
So I don't think we talked about this. Are we going to put our answer
Yeah.
Yeah, in here too.
Yeah, but I haven't even thought about it. What our biggest fight has been.
Oh, I can think of like 7, and I think like 6.5 are my fault.
Wow. Okay. All right. Now I'm interested. Like what?
I'm just saying the biggest ones I can think of off the top of my head, like the two really, really big ones, are both my fault. So yeah.
Okay.
You can't.
Do we want to talk about that?
Not right now. Let's start with other people's stuff.
Okay.
As I sip my whiskey from my Christmas mug. One of my trainers in California made that. Linda made it.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
I made that collage on the Instagram.
Uh-huh. I posted it on Instagram. She took the picture and made a mug out of it. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. It's before Phoebe was born. Mm-hmm. So it's the twins' first Christmas.
It's funny. Phoebe starts asking now our youngest, who's going to be 4 in January. Because there's a 4-year gap between her and the twins. Almost 5 years. Yeah. Actually, it is 5 years.
It's 5 years almost exactly.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. 2 weeks. She starts asking now, like, where am I when she sees pictures?
Yeah.
Yeah. Older pictures before she was born. Yeah. It's actually pretty funny. And she got mad at you. I have to tell this. I have a little picture on my wallet of a family photo when we first moved here.
Moved to Washington.
So this is six years ago. Yeah. And number one, she's not in the photo. And because it was a family picture before she was even, born, let alone pregnant.
I think the twins were almost 3.
Right. And then your hair was like dyed red. It was like a auburn red.
It was an ombre. It was dark red at the top and like a light red at the bottom.
And she said she was
mad about the
hair. She was mad about the hair.
Yeah.
She wanted to know where she was.
Yeah. Which I haven't dyed my hair since then. So.
Yeah. So, all right. Yeah. So let's get into it.
I think we should save the biggest, dumbest, the one about firearms towards the end, because we can talk about a relevant topic is in the news.
Okay, so let's pick one.
Okay, so
you got one from...
These are all anonymous.
Are they all anonymous?
All
everybody said?
I'll say a funny one first. This was a joke because I had to clarify. Mm-hmm. This person goes, she said no to the butt, so I kicked her to the curb. And I went, wait, what?
What?
My response was, wait, what? Do you mean like...
Anal sex.
In the butt?
Yeah. Yes, because yours was softer, more proper.
Yes.
Yeah, in the butt is more proper than anal sex.
And then I said, or do you mean like butt touching?
I think we're the only ones that are like...
He goes, I'm joking. It was a joke. And I was like, oh my gosh. Because I was going to be like...
You're a horrible person. We can't be friends anymore.
But I was like, you know what? There are probably people that have had a very big discussion or argument about that same topic. If it's you, now you feel heard and seen because we have added it to our lexicon.
Okay, so biggest argument, some of the answers you got.
I'll go. Or you want to go? I'll go and then you go kind of thing. Yeah.
Pull these back up again. Go ahead.
Okay, so this is a good one. Mm-hmm. This is a good one. The purpose and workings of the thermostat.
The argument with your roommates don't count.
It wasn't Pierre. It wasn't Pierre. It was somebody else.
Okay. I just, look, we've been recording for almost 15 minutes. Like, I felt like we had to drop my brother's name in there somewhere.
So. No, it wasn't him.
Okay. That's
it. Wasn't him. I asked the question.
Okay. So the argument over the thermostat. Questions. Go ahead.
And I asked for clarification on this. And that's what I did with Summit. I tried to respond to everybody's answer so that they would feel like they were heard, which is important because I wanted them to like continue to engage with us. But let me find it.
Okay. Go ahead.
Did you not? You can find them in your stories.
I know. Then I got to go in the archives and, just being retarded.
Being lazy.
I was recording a podcast earlier with Scott, and that one has more to do with, ownership of like your own crap as, men and fathers and getting your head right before you start, moving your life forward. And I was like, that's just retarded. I'm like, can I say retarded? He goes, well, it's your podcast. I'm like, it's your
with an I. And then, retard is in musical terms.
I said, well, actually, it's both our podcasts, and it was funny. So anyway,
you had to be there.
Yes, you had to be there. Okay, go ahead.
So the workings of the thermostat was like purpose in the workings. So I said, what was the agreed upon purpose?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, agreement? You think there was an agreement? Oh, no.
Oh, those are one of those, it's still not resolved.
Yeah.
Things.
Well, he said, they don't fight in like the traditional sense of the word. It was kind of an exaggeration, but it was a discussion. But he said,
okay,
just last night, that he told her that if she was a superhero, her arch nemesis would be Dr. Thermostat, because she will never quite know how he operates.
So that's one of the biggest arguments.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I feel like if one of your biggest arguments as a, and this is like the significant other, like married. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So I feel like
if they're married.
Yeah. I feel like if your biggest argument in your marriage up to this point is, or one of the biggest arguments you've had has to do with your thermostat, I feel like that bodes well for the relationship.
I agree.
Or you're in big trouble. I feel like you can look at this both ways.
Well, here's the thing, right? About these two lovely, wonderful people is they seem very even keeled.
Okay.
And so I think I have answers from other very even keeled people, mm-hmm, as well. And it's not that they're not passionate people. It's that they know how to fight well, I think, or at least fight better than we do.
Like who's from.
No, I'm not going to answer.
Well, I'm not
it's
going
all
to.
Anonymous.
I'm
you can
saying.
Ask me after.
Yeah.
So the purpose of working to the thermostat, I don't know that we've ever argued over the thermostat. You and I. I've always known the purpose of working in the thermostat because my dad was an HVAC and metalwork as a kid. So I always knew what it was for. I have had a fist fight almost with my sister over the thermostat.
That's because she's weird.
How dare you?
She keeps butter in the bathroom.
She doesn't keep butter in the bathroom. That was one instance.
Okay.
She was bringing the butter into the house because it was Thanksgiving.
Well, she's married now, so that's his problem now.
You're an asshole.
I love her. She knows that.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
And she listens sometimes.
She's all my sister. So historically, my sister is always cold.
Right.
Always. And I was not like that. I was like, it's hot. Yeah. Like, so this is how she would wake up in the morning when we lived together, because we lived together before Alex and I got married. She'd wake up in the morning. She'd turn the oven on and open the oven door.
That's safe.
She would turn. I know. She would. It is actually, as long as you have ventilation. And then she would turn the heater up to 90. And then she would go get in the shower.
Reminds me of that.
And I was like, oh my God, have I woken up in hell? Because it's so hot.
Like an iron deficiency or something. I feel like it's like the episode from How I Met Your Mother. You need more protein.
Context. Not really in context. Yeah. Anyway.
Okay. Go ahead.
So then we got in like a full on, because what I would do is I would turn the heater off, I'd turn the oven off, I'd close the oven door, and I'd open all the windows.
So you'd go like 180.
Yeah.
Like, fuck yourself. Not just turn everything off, like open everything up.
Yeah.
See, that's why we have our arguments.
I mean, I turned everything off.
Yeah.
But I was like, I knew it was. And in that place that we were living at that point, we weren't paying for utilities. And so I didn't think, I was like, this is. And
here's my take on this whole thing, right? With the cold thing, the thermostat thing. And this is even when I was like,
I don't think it's like that this person's always cold and the other person's always hot. I don't think that's the case here. I just think that there's like a misunderstanding of what the purpose is or like what it does.
I don't think so.
I think so.
That's not what it seems like. I think it's an argument over the thermostat as far as like where to set it.
I don't think so. That's not what I got from my response.
How'd they say it?
I just told you how they said it.
Repeat it, please.
Okay. It says the purpose and workings of the thermostat. And I clarified in a direct message with said person. And that person said that, to pull it up now again, read it again because you're stupid. That,
calm down, Harridan.
Okay, you fucking hooligan. He told her that if she was a superhero, her arch nemesis would be Dr. Thermostat, because she will never quite know how he operates. It's about the operation of the thermostat, not the actual
temperature.
How would that
cause an argument, though?
Maybe because he's telling her it's one thing and she's not agreeing with him, or vice versa.
Well, don't know how it works. That's like arguing with tech support when you call tech support.
Maybe. Well, first of all, that's assuming your husband knows anything that he's talking about.
No, I'm saying
that's
it's like
an
if
assumption.
You don't know.
That's an
no,
assumption.
No, no. I'm basing it off the fact that he's saying she doesn't understand how the thermostat works. It's not about like a man woman role.
No, but what I'm saying is you're making quite the assumption.
It's an assumption.
You're making an assumption.
That's what he said.
It's not what he said.
What did he say?
He said the purpose and the workings of the thermostat. He didn't say like he knows everything either. So here's the thing. My dad knew about thermostats. There are lots of people out there that know shit about thermostats. So they might tell you, well, this is for this thing. And they're totally wrong. And their wife might be like, I think you're full of shit, because sometimes you are. And they'll be like, no. And it'll become a big argument. Okay. So, let's be realistic.
I love how you're taking her side just because she's a woman.
No, I'm not taking her side just because she's a woman. I'm taking the fact that you're like, well, obviously it's like tech support where tech support knows and the other person doesn't.
I was basing that off of the phrasing of what the answer. That's why. So I had nothing to do.
Has nothing to do with the fact that I'm taking the woman's side. I'm just taking the side of. Because I can
see you like with one of your ex-boyfriends sending this in, you know, because you knew more about technical stuff than some of your exes did.
I mean, so, like in that aspect, they were way better with computers than me.
Well, you know.
So they spent all their time on them.
All right.
Anyway.
So
that was one.
Okay. I feel like that's like. See, it's more interesting if it was like about, you know, where to set the temperature.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure that that's a hot topic with spouses.
I'm sure it is. My thing's always been with roommates or significant people you live with, right? Is it's easier to get warm than just to cool down. So if you're cold, you can put on layers.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, but yeah. I disagree because when you're fucking freezing because you live in Washington and you can't get warm to save your GD life without like hopping in the shower, turning the thermostat up 2 degrees.
Oh, that's fine.
I think you could take a sweater off.
No.
Sasquatch.
That's fine. Who do you call a Sasquatch?
You.
This isn't about me and you. We've never had an issue with the thermostat.
I know.
Yeah. We're always pretty much on
point. I'm just saying, for all those people out there that are like, I'm freezing. And the other person's like, well, I'm sweating. So you need to suffer. Like, okay. That means that if you're trying to get warm, that means you're like sitting in one place wrapped in a blanket to get warm.
Well, it depends on how cold you are. There's a little bit of discomfort. Anyway. Yeah. All right.
Right.
Okay. Next one.
Right. You get to come up with one now because I have a bunch.
Here's a good one. Being talked down to. So that's been a big one. So it's the way spouses talk to each other.
Tone of voice.
Right. So
that's a huge thing.
Well, it is. Cause I mean, that's something me and you've had issues with before.
Oh, yeah. So,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We still have issues with different times. That would
be probably our biggest. I would say that's our most recurring.
Maybe most recurring.
Recurring not argument. Biggest. No.
No.
But definitely our most recurring argument.
Mm-hmm.
Because tone of voice matters. Like, you say, hey, can you do this or whatever? And somebody responds, no. As opposed to like, oh, I can't do that right now. I'm doing this. Mm-hmm. Like, that's going to put, if the other person is even slightly like agitated, it's just going to like raise their agitation level up to the point where they're going to start responding in a nasty way back if they're human at all. And some people are fantastic arguers and they don't rise to that stuff. Or they have enough of a like affection surplus that stuff doesn't ruffle their feathers.
Yeah.
If they're feeling a little like deprived or their love cup is empty to sound like a total goober.
No, that makes sense.
Then they're going to respond, I feel like, in a more drastic way to tone of voice.
Yeah.
Than if they are feeling secure or heard or whatever it is.
I was listening to a podcast today and the guest was talking about how people sometimes have a hard time realizing that, you know, for the most part, and this is kind of simplifying it, but basically, you know, we as humans, we exist in only one state of being at a time, right? So meaning like where you are like emotionally, right? And that has nothing, it's not saying you can't have complex emotions, right?
Right.
No, what you're saying is just like
it's where
like,
you exist in that moment.
Yeah, like time. Where you are in that time, right? Like you're, you know, for lack of a better term, like not so much your mood, right? But where you are, like, are you in a state of like fight or flight? Are you in a state of like calm? Are you in a state of depression? Are you in a state of anxiety or excitement, right? Like things like that, right? And then that state will kind of dictate your response and your energy output towards people, towards the tasks you accomplish or avoid in your life, like all everything, right? Kind of affects everything. So I think when you look at it that way, right? I think a lot of people don't realize sometimes either A, where they are, and then when they respond to somebody, number one, should they even respond? And then number two, like, are you in the right state of mind to even have the conversation that the other person is trying to have with you to begin with, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I know I struggle with my range of conversation with the people in this house I'm talking to, because it'll go from my wife,
a three-year-old,
twin 8-year-olds having a meltdown over who touched the other one first. And then,
She punched me. Right. Well, she kicked me first. She said I was right. ugly.
And yeah. then out of the blue, the man child, you know, pipes in from like the other room, right? So just, you know, you yeah. So I think that tends to be sometimes my biggest struggle. And then what happens is because of the exceedingly like escalating sound and voices and varying degrees of responses and whatnot, then the overreaction is talk down to everybody and shut everybody up, right? Because we need silence. And that's something I know I do sometimes, and I know you do it sometimes too. Because it's just like, oh, you made a face right
I'm just
now.
Saying you can take responsibility for your own stuff. Don't take responsibility.
I'm not
tell
taking
me.
Responsibility. I'm not you putting are. It on you. I'm saying it's things we struggle with.
You as, can yeah. talk about what you struggle oh,
okay.
with.
So and I'll don't give you a struggle. Struggle okay. With. I will remember that.
Yeah.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Okay. So another one is where to live.
What do you mean?
Like as a family, like with your significant other, where to live.
Yeah.
That's like a big yeah. argument, right? Yeah.
Yeah. I have a couple friends actually who they still live in a place that they don't want to. Mm-hmm. And as things get more and more kind of crazy in the world with the government and all that stuff, and it's more noticeable in certain places where the local governments have also like drastically overstepped their, mm-hmm. their responsibilities, their, you know, like, their purview.
Yeah.
They want to leave because they recognize like the situation as pretty mm-hmm. dire and getting more dire by the day, and their significant other doesn't think it's that bad. And so that's for sure that would be a struggle, I think.
Yeah, I think with that one there's kind of two ways you can look at it. One is where to live as far as, you know, where to settle down with a house. Mm-hmm. Right. Or property, you know, and let's say you both agree on the area you want to be in, just like the actual physical structure. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, I like this house. I like that house. I like this building. I like that one. But I think that would be a little bit more simple to resolve. And something harder would be like one person wanted to leave the area completely or, you know, or the mm-hmm. state as a whole, right? Mm-hmm. And I feel like sometimes what happens is people will cling to the places they will live, they want to be, because A, for good reasons, which is the reasons given for the person wanting to move somewhere else, like there's not a good plan in place. There's right. not, there isn't a, you know, like you're moving with like, you know, as you call it, like your hair on fire, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you rush to do it, like, and for, and there's no reason to rush, right? Right. And the other reason is, other thing is that holds people back is that you should leave, like where you grow up. Like it's a really good thing to do, at least for, even if it's just for a short period of time, just to get a different perspective yes. on the world, right?
Yes.
But,
yes.
But then what happens is people want to stay. And that's fine, you know, staying and raising a family close to your family, whatnot. Nothing wrong with that. We did that for a while. But I think if you're staying just for the sake of staying to be around certain people, but your life is not getting better and your circumstances and your opportunities aren't improving and they're actually getting worse, regardless of what your
like your work output is staying the same.
Yeah.
But things are not.
Yeah. Things are worse. Yeah.
They're not.
Yeah. And the opportunities are getting worse.
Better, yeah.
Yeah. They're progressing. Dwindling. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because of things going on, like cost of living is going up, mm-hmm. job opportunities. Mm-hmm.
You're getting priced out of being able to buy
yeah.
a decent sized non-hovel. Yeah.
Well, and then maybe what you want for your life and for your family mm-hmm. is not really attainable for the place you're living. Mm-hmm. So you are starting to look in there and then you get in this like crux of this position of like one person is like, okay, let's go. This is where we want to go. And the other person's like, yeah, but everybody's here. And it's like, well,
everybody's here till they're not.
Exactly.
That's the thing. Is
yeah. It's not like everybody's staying there to live for you. Yeah.
Our kid, every time we go back home to visit, our kids are like, oh my gosh, I wish we lived here. Because whenever we go back home to visit, we get to see everybody that we want to hang out with.
Well, also sometimes there's an event. So then there's people that don't live there anymore that did live there that are coming into town as well. Like recently your sister's wedding, right? So right. we saw a bunch of your family that they grew up around for a period of time before we left, but also they don't live there anymore either.
But also, a lot of them had already left.
Yes, exactly.
By the time we moved,
yeah,
three of my siblings lived, like two were in the Marines, mm-hmm. one's married to an Army guy, so they all three of them were gone.
Yeah.
My other brother had moved, so there was one, in fact, there were no siblings close by.
Cecily was.
No, she wasn't. She was in San Francisco. That's not close.
Oh, you're right. She did move there before we left. And we were in Santa Cruz. Yeah, you're right.
So I helped her move. Yeah. We had no close siblings.
Yeah. Oh, and then Sophia was down south at that point.
Yeah, we had friends, mm-hmm. but we almost never saw them because every single person that lived there was just like us and
working their scrambling ass off
just to pay rent.
Yeah.
So, like, it just became like we were staying in a place where we didn't see the people that we wanted to see anymore.
Right.
The reason, like the people that we were staying for were not accessible to us because we were all just on the wheel.
Right.
Trying to, you know, get ahead. And so moving first to Washington and then here was like a gradual like readjustment of our lives. And of course, we had already decided we will always go visit our family.
Which we've done
in excess.
Yeah.
Let me be clear. Like we've had a handful of visits from family members and we've gone down there over 10 times. I mean, we've gone down there. We went down there 5 times in the last 12 months.
So we're shaming everybody who's not visited us.
I'm not shaming them. I'm just saying, like, if you're important to us, we will come see you wherever you live. Yeah. And that's because we're about relationships and experiences. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah. I think also sometimes when you do move and you experience new things and you put yourself in a position of a little bit of a state of discomfort and unknown, mm-hmm. It pushes you to kind of go the extra step, to kind of reassess your life and look at things that, oh, I was really comfortable here. I wasn't doing these things that I thought I was doing. And then you get the door open to a lot of different opportunities, different experiences, different people. Like we were talking to the kids about when we, after a few months of living here, and the conversation came up about, you know, Washington and then California. And I said, well, you know, look at it this way. I said, you miss everybody in California, right? They go, yeah. I said, but you see everybody, right? They go, yeah. And we keep in contact. We make sure, like, as your parents, we go out of our way to make sure that you have that communication asset, whether it's through FaceTime or sending letters or visiting, right? Mm-hmm. Or them coming to visit us. Mm-hmm. They go, yeah. I said, but if we never moved, you never would have made your friends that you made in Washington. They're like, oh, yeah, that's right. I said, and then, you know, and then we moved here. And they go, yeah. I said, now think about, we've been here a year now. How many, like, friends have you made and experiences have you had and opportunities have you had because we live here because we don't live in Washington anymore, right? They, oh, that's a good point. I said, but that doesn't mean like your life in Washington doesn't exist anymore. But
or meaning, that it wasn't the experiences. Like, cool.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Right. Or the people you knew, right? So all those things are, you know, as adults, people struggle with that, which is they think that if I just stay here, then everything will stay the same and this comfort zone is going to stay the same and things are just, they'll get better. And I think that if there's a logical reason why to move and you both as a couple, getting back to the original point about fighting where to live, and you both agree on mm-hmm. like we want to move and these are the boxes we're looking to check off for places and you come up with them and it's feasible, you can make it work, there's opportunity there, mm-hmm. and one person doesn't want to go because of fear or just because of that, then yeah, that's going to cause a huge,
you know, it's going to be an issue.
Well, and it's not only going to be an issue in that argument, that's going to be one of those things that can eventually cause a downfall of a marriage.
For sure.
Yeah, 100%.
I mean, there's lots of things that can cause a downfall
of a marriage. No, I know, but like we're talking about that subject
specifically. They erode foundation, and that's what happens.
That's what I mean.
Yeah. Okay, so moving on to another question, an actual question from somebody. So this is a good one, because mm-hmm. it's not like super funny or super sexy or any of those things, but it's a very solid argument, and it's cell phone time and limiting it. So now...
Yeah, that's a big one.
So when we first started dating, you had a cell phone. I did not.
You had a Nokia with the game Snake on it.
No, you had the Sprint camera phone.
No, wait, did I?
Yeah, you did. Oh, and it was like the first camera phone. Right. It was the first camera phone. Yeah.
It was like, I worked at Circuit
like
City.
Half a megapixel or
and
like
I spent like
whatever.
Half my paycheck on it.
Right. And then you bought me for our first Christmas a cell Nokia, phone with the game Snake on it.
That's
it was
right.
Like silver or whatever. Yep. But fancy. We have gone from analog phones mm-hmm. that cost you per minute and like per text message yep. to supercomputers in our pockets yeah. where you can play games, you can watch movies, you can read books, you can run a business, you can answer emails, you yeah. can do like form breakdowns,
yeah.
you can screen record, you can do everything from this device in your pocket, and it's infinitely time sucking.
Right.
So
and addictive.
And addictive because yeah.
and they make it that way too
on yeah. purpose. Yeah. I mean, the access to games like Angry Birds or you know, whatever there was a game Bedazzled, Bejeweled or whatever it was.
Yeah, I never went down the game rabbit hole after I stopped playing Xbox when we had Elias. And that was 13 years ago.
Right, but you definitely had an Angry Birds thing on your phone for quite a while.
I think everybody did because that was the first like
I remember you got your big like motion. Full screen camp yeah. like phone and it was like, whoa, you can play Angry Birds on it, and it was touch screen and you could yeah. like
oh that was the HTC. I remember yeah, that phone. The, yeah. Elias yeah. was like two or three at the time. Yeah.
Right. So
yeah.
So we've gone from a limited mm-hmm. technology in that aspect to very advanced technology. And with that comes opportunities to avoid mm-hmm. connecting with people or thinking that connecting with people on the internet is the same thing as connecting with them in person, or that if you want to avoid something, it's very easy to avoid it.
So how would you suggest a conversation should go that doesn't cause instant other person to go on the defensive and then just get snippy?
This is going to depend on the person.
Huh?
It's going to depend on the person.
Yeah, I feel like just having the conversation, not having the conversation, telling someone get off your phone is not.
Yeah, it's tone. It goes right back to tone.
Well, it goes to tone. It
goes
yeah.
back to talking down to somebody.
Right.
If you're ordering your partner around like they're your child, mm-hmm. first of all, that erodes a few areas. That one,
yeah,
it creates a power dichotomy.
Yeah.
Two, it makes one person feel like diminished and the other person feel empowered or whatever, and then that creates issues in other areas. Like, I don't know about y'all, but if I have to treat my partner like a child, I am way less likely to touch his butt
or
let him touch mine.
Yep.
So that goes back to the tone of voice thing. But of course, if you're going to have a conversation about something that you know is a touchy subject, then do it away from a charged moment. Like, if the person's on the phone and you said like, hey, can you get off your phone? And they don't do it, that's not the time to have a deep conversation about it because they're yeah. not paying attention to you.
Yeah.
The time to have that conversation is when their phone is away from them and you can say, hey.
Right.
And what you have to do, or you don't have to, but what, like, this is what I've learned over all the years and all the therapies and all the growing up is instead of you in accusatory terms, and then avoid hyperbole. Mm-hmm. Because that's not accurate
yeah.
under pretty much any circumstance.
Right.
No one is always, no one is never.
Right. Like, we just started breaking that habit not too long ago, I would say.
It's one of the four horsemen.
Yep.
Yeah. It's a therapy term.
Oh, we should do an episode on that. That'd be interesting.
We should. That'll be a good
yeah.
one.
Because we've had three sessions, so we're experts now.
No, but it's a really, like, it's a, if people don't know about it, it's right. a super solid, like, starting yeah. point.
Well, also, it wasn't a surprise. Like, when it was structured that way, and, yeah. like, for us, it was looking at it going, like, oh, yeah, I recognize that and that yeah. and that and that. Yeah, these are totally things that are, like, big things that kind of come up and actually have to be addressed, you know.
So, so back to the cell phone yeah. time and limiting it. Like, I definitely find myself using my phone in times when I really need to be focusing. Like, and say I'm teaching my kids, we homeschool our kids. Say
right.
I'm teaching the kids, and at the same time, I'm answering emails and text messages. Mm-hmm. I am most definitely not going to be calm or measured yeah. in my responses to my kids.
Yeah, because you get
because I'm doing 45 things at once. So
and they get annoyed because they're interrupting you, but like they're not interrupting you because they're in school. Yeah, can you imagine, like, when we were kids, like, being in school, and then, like, while the teacher's giving a lesson, they're on this, like, device
yeah.
and looking down, not looking at you, like, yeah. and they stop mid conversation. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I can imagine that. Yeah, and I'm sure that happens now in school.
Yeah. So what I find works best for me is having times where I have dedicated work time. So in our household, for the most part, cell phone is off or down. My phone is always on silent. Mm-hmm. Always. I have a smartwatch. I can see who's calling me. My phone is always on silent. That ringer is never on because I find it extremely obtrusive when cell phones ring in churches, at jujitsu class, when you're supposed to be doing something that's focused on not your phone. Mm-hmm. When your phone rings, unless it's like a, like your kids, an emergency, like a text message bling or an email notification, it just takes you away from whatever it is you're trying to focus on.
Right.
So my phone's always on silent. That's mm-hmm. one of the ways that I avoid answering emails and text messages and messages like instantaneously, mm-hmm. because along with having a supercomputer in our pockets, people know that most people have a cell phone. So therefore they can answer them instantaneously. So they expect rapid responses.
Sure.
Even though like in the old days, it was, I remember answering the phone as a kid. You would let the phone ring three times before mm-hmm. you answered it. Like there was legit phone etiquette that we don't observe at all anymore. Mm-hmm. You let the phone ring three times and you answer it, and you answer it with, "Hi, this is this place. May I ask who's calling?" And then the person says who it is and who they're calling for. Then it's just like, "Hey, you know," and it, like, "Who is this? Who is this?" Like there was no, there. It, you say asking who it is was, they needed to know who the person was calling. Yeah. And not answering that question. Think about this. Somebody calls you and you say, "Who is this?" And they don't, like, "Who is this?" And they give you that shitty answer. I'm going to hang up on them right fucking then.
This is also before smartphones and a picture of the person calling you right. pops up.
And now we have scam likely, and I just don't even bother answering those and block that call or block this call or whatever. If I don't recognize the number, then I'm not answering it.
Yeah, I actually had to tell a client once after, and you know who I'm talking about. He'll call me like because his schedule was completely opposite of mine, and he'd call me, and I wouldn't answer for numerous reasons, whether it's, you know, it's at dinner time or whether it's in the morning and I'm at work, you know, this is like when I work in the morning, or whatever the reason was, I didn't answer the phone. He would call like three times in a row and then he would shoot me a text.
I don't even know who that is. I don't remember, but,
Mike, you know, yeah. So I had to actually call him back and said, "Hey man, like when you, if you call and I don't answer, like I didn't answer for a reason. It's not like, you know, I didn't hear the phone or
I don't know, it's you."
Yeah, or that like I was like, "Oh, I don't feel like talking right now, so you're gonna call me three more times and I have to hit."
Also, like, you don't have to answer the phone. If you don't want to talk to them right now, they can.
That was my point.
That's my point. Like, that pisses me off.
Right. And I had to tell some family this before too, as far as like with text messages go. I say, "Hey, you didn't get back to me." I was like, "Okay." It's like, you know, well,
unless it's an emergency, don't expect a response. Right,
right. I don't, you know, right. I actually have a rule where I text somebody and if there's a question and I don't hear back within, let's say 20, I usually give it 24 hours. That's like my general, you know,
yeah.
Then the next day I respond, "Hey, wasn't sure if you saw this or not. Did you get a chance to, you know,
Because for sure,
yeah.
Sometimes I'll see a text message on my watch.
Yeah, and you forget.
And I'll clear
because
it.
Because you're doing something.
And the notification will go away on my phone. Right. So I've missed some texts that way. So absolutely. But going back to that, like having designated time. So in my case, I work from my phone or I work from my computer. So during school, I'm not on my phone for the most part. I'm not on my phone during jujitsu. I'm not on my phone, you know, at dinner time. And I have two dedicated times in the day where I sit down on my computer and do work and do my check-ins with my clients. And it's half an hour to an hour max both times.
Right. Well, and the pitfall there too is like if you do go and I think all of us have done this, you know, numerous times is you answer an email or a question or you are working on something. And then what happens is as you're doing that, all these notifications start coming through. And then you started with like a quick response or a work project. Mm-hmm. And 35 minutes later, you're down the Instagram rabbit hole. Right. And that happens,
you know,
it happens all the time. It happens more often than I'm sure we'd like to admit. Right.
Yeah.
And to the point where, I know me now, if you notice, I don't bring my phone to the couch when we sit down and watch, like if we have like our show time after the kids go to bed. Yeah, I just leave it up there, right? Because it's too easy to like boom, boom, boom. Because I have, and I turned off a bunch of notifications, but it's, I'll get a notification from my crypto investments. I'll get a notification from the 4 Instagram accounts I'm running now. Mm-hmm. I just was like, oh, I have 4 now, you know. Mm-hmm. There's, you know, text messages from clients. You know, half my clients work in security, so they're up till 3 o'clock in the morning, right? So I've got, you know, things that come in there too, and they don't expect a response back at 10 o'clock at night. You know, they know my schedule,
right?
But it's the ping, 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 you know, and then seeing it, the light go off and that kind of, even if it's off, right? Like you're, you know, so I think the whole thing of like, just like anything else, like when you're trying to be disciplined with something, it's like, just don't, like, if you're trying not to eat crappy food, don't buy crappy food. Like, don't bring it in the house to begin with, right?
So don't bring your phone to bed, plug it in and put it away from you so that it's not like right by you.
Yeah.
Don't bring your phone to dinner. Don't bring your, like, when you're out on a date with your person, don't have it out. Like, put it in your purse.
Yeah, we have a good routine.
Because when a phone vibrates, you can hear it vibrating.
Right.
I have a smartwatch.
Yeah, we have a good routine because our kids are home. And so you usually have your phone put away and I have my phone out, but it's face down. Mm-hmm. So that way, if they call us for any reason, right, if there's an emergency, they can get a hold of us. That way, both phones aren't on vibrate in our pockets and not, you know, you can miss something. So, yeah.
Okay,
I think you have that conversation though.
Yeah, you do.
You do it
away from charged moments.
Right.
Like you never want to have a, unless it's like an emergent situation, or like a life or death situation, you don't have like that conversation where you know it's going to be a little bit touchy in a heated moment. Mm-hmm. Like you take a step back and take a break and then come back to it, like timeouts or whatever. Okay, so let's go back to what we have here. Do you have any more of the biggest argument question answers?
No, a lot of them were like the
dumbest. Mm-hmm. Cool. So then we got the thermostat. We did that one. We said the no to the butt, cell phone time and limiting it. One of them was, it occurred during our kitchen remodel. And I asked for some clarification on that because I was like, what about your kitchen remodel? Well, they were doing it by themselves, like on their own. So therefore, it's going to get a little bit more heated probably because it's stressful. It's hard to do, right?
What was the argument though?
So
what's it about?
I asked, I'm like, what about the metal cabinet colors? Where to put the trash can? He said, and I said, he like listed all the things that they did. Like they put in new countertops, new hardware, soft clothes, everything. Like he sent me pictures. It's beautiful. It's really lovely.
But what was the argument?
But I said, which item caused the most argument? He said, cumulative total plus my passive aggressive mumbling.
So I feel like.
So it was like, the total amount of work that was involved in putting in the kitchen. The fact that it, he built the upper cabinets. Mm-hmm. Like they painted everything, like it's really beautiful. They put in a new sink, new countertops, like new hardware, but it was over the budget and it was a missed deadline. So both of those things, when you're doing it yourself,
that causes a lot of stress.
Yeah. And you have nobody else. You can't like blame the contractor because
you're living in your construction zone.
Right.
That's always stressful.
Right. Yeah. So, and then like, of course, passive aggressive mumbling. Now, our podcast name of assertive, not aggressive is tongue in cheek because I've always considered myself a sort of aggressive, like there's passive aggressive and we joke in my family, there's aggressive, aggressive and I'm aggressive, aggressive.
Right.
And my therapist is like, you mean assertive? And I was like, okay, I mean assertive. But as somebody who is like, if you have something to say, say it to my face.
Right.
When somebody is like, under their breath, you're like, I'm on a, what? Say that louder for the people in the back.
We broke our kids of the habit really quickly.
Yeah, because it's like
it started up and we were like, whoa, no.
This was something that my dad taught me. And like I had a very tumultuous childhood.
Yeah.
I had a lot of really amazing moments in my childhood, but I had some really hard ones. And we were going through it when I was in my like preteens and early teens. And my dad said, you know, I know this is really hard, so you can say whatever you want to say about me as long as you say it to my face.
Yeah.
And I don't know that in my other siblings, I don't know if my other siblings were really comfortable with doing that. Mm-hmm. But for me, I was much more comfortable like yelling it at him than not saying it. Because I would just like think about the things and that would upset me. And so then I would scream it at him and or yell it at him or just like throw it at him in anger. And he took it and he listened. Mm-hmm. Didn't always like it. Didn't always respond really positively.
Right.
But I feel like I got to say things that I otherwise wouldn't have if I hadn't done that.
Sure.
So we also tell our kids, if you have something to say, you need to say it to my face. You can say whatever you want to say, but you have to say it to my face.
Yeah.
Because that, like, you're a dumbass, as they walk away to their room, like, that's not going to fly. There has to be communication.
Yeah. I like what Andy says. It's like, if you don't feel comfortable saying it to that person in an elevator while it's moving,
don't say it.
Then don't say it. Yeah.
But I mean, with our kids, it's a little different because here's the thing though, if we want to have open communication with our kids, then they have to feel like they can say anything to us without fear of reaction as opposed to response.
What's that thing, Meredith? In
Brave Safe Space.
Brave Safe
Space. Or Safe Space. Brave Space.
Safe Brave Space. When I first heard that, like, my initial reaction, this just tells you how screwed up I am, was it made me think of like all of those movies where you have the corny like parents that basically like just coddle and safe space their kids, right? That was right. And when I say initial, I'm talking like
gut reaction.
I'll be like 42 next minute. It's like, yeah. I will have this whole conversation and process, and like I will play it out in my head in like the matter of like 4 seconds, right?
Yeah.
As far as like me laughing about it, saying a dumb comment, everybody looking like, what the fuck's wrong with you? And you go, don't say that. Yeah. But when they were explaining it, I was like, oh, that's a good idea, because it automatically harkened back to where sometimes I will struggle with the kids when they will say, like, I don't want to talk to you about it. And I'm like, and sometimes
you have to give them space.
Space, sometimes.
And time.
And my thing is, like, I'll overreact and go, like, no, you have to talk to me about it because we can't keep secrets from each other. And then, because I'm thinking about all the crap that I went through as a kid, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, like, that's a whole other episode.
Yeah. That's a whole other episode.
Right.
But so, again, that's like that.
Yeah.
Like, and this person recognizes that it's passive aggressive because it's just a way to, like, say stuff.
Yeah.
Without directly saying it. And if you're hurt or annoyed or frustrated, you can just say, hey, I'm really frustrated right now.
Yeah.
We have to be able to, like, we have to normalize, like, saying what our feelings are.
Without being offended all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, for sure.
Okay. And then I've got three more. So
pick one more good one.
Actually, I think they're all good in their own way, but.
Okay. Well, I mean, we got time.
Yeah. So one of them is, this is another person that says they don't really ever fight in that popular sense, but there are misunderstandings because they're good fighters and their personalities are such that they don't, like, they shut down when yelling happens. Like, they don't.
Oh, I know that.
Communicate.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, it's not someplace that they feel safe to communicate, so they don't.
Yep.
And that's, you know, that's a trauma response a lot of times.
Bouncer mode.
Yeah. So. Mostly it's misunderstandings, this person says, but they get cleared up. But other, like, their biggest argument is one wanting alone time and the other not understanding or feeling like they're being rejected by the person that wants alone time.
Yeah. That's a,
what are your thoughts on that?
So it's twofold. One is, this is one of my instant reactions. In simplistic terms, that's a you problem, not a me problem. Meaning, what I mean by that, as far as like the person who's feeling rejected, that kind of thing, for the most part, that's somebody who probably has a problem or has a hard time being alone, like being with themselves. Mm-hmm. So there's a lack of confidence. There's a lack of ability to be in the moment, like by themselves and just exist. Mm-hmm. And then the other part of it is there may be a whole lot of crap that's there to begin with, which is there's a lot of already years of rejection of choosing the person over the other person, choosing things over that or your significant other.
Right.
So you're already that person's already being ignored, starving of attention, neglected, that kind of thing too. And then that gets to, you know, like I was talking with this earlier, Scott too, is like, you know, guys talk about like, my wife doesn't want to have sex with me. My wife doesn't want to spend enough time with me. My wife doesn't want to do this. And it's always a blaming on the wife. And no matter what the situation is, like in the group that we're in, we always address it with like,
have you taken a shower?
Have you
brushed your teeth?
Let's look
at
this
first.
Are you
farting all over the place? Are you a disgusting human being?
Yeah. Like, well, and it was always like, how is this? Like, what are you doing? You know,
yeah.
Like, what are you doing to simplify it, right? what are you doing to make your wife want to actually be around you? Right. Are you a confident person? Do you take care of yourself? Yeah. Do you do what you say?
Yes, and exactly. Say what you do.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's like a myriad of things you could do, but like attributes of a person. Right. So I think that's where those two things kind of go hand in hand. So, but if it's something as simple as all those things don't really exist, like you have a healthy relationship, you know, relatively speaking, mm-hmm. and there's a balance, and it's just a matter of one person enjoys having alone time from time to time, yeah. and the other person doesn't really want the alone time all the time, well, then, yeah, that's going to be a problem.
Well, but, and it can also predate your relationship.
Exactly.
Because it could be baggage from other relationships or baggage from childhood that they maybe haven't addressed, or
yeah.
it's their personality and it's the way that they feel loved. And that gets into like that love language thing that some people are aware of, some people aren't, but there's, you know, 5 love languages. And if you take, there's multiple tests out there for you, kind of like the Enneagram tests and the Myers-Briggs test, like personality tests. There's lots of different versions out there.
Yeah.
But you take that test and it gives you your top like expressions of yep. love, how you express and how you feel loved. And somebody who values, say, physical touch is one of the love languages.
Yeah.
Getting with somebody who values acts of service, that can be an issue.
Sure.
Or like words of affirmation, like somebody who values words of affirmation, the other person values acts of service, like they'll do things
yeah.
for you all day long because that's how they feel loved.
Mm-hmm.
And you won't feel loved because you're not telling them, hey,
right.
you're beautiful. You're not saying anything, yeah. Hey, yeah. you've got a nice butt. Or hey, sure. this, that, or the other thing.
Yeah.
So sometimes those are the miscommunications there. And, you know, it sounds hokey. Like it sounds a little astrological. Like I'm a Sagittarius and you're a Libra and we should never communicate. It sounds a little bit like that, but it's not, because it's based off of psychology and it's based off of data. And it really is just another tool. It's just another tool to give you insight into how you might be able to express or receive affection, love, all those things.
Well, a lot of it too is also your nature versus nurture, right? So like
right.
that's talking about nature, right? Personality type, mm-hmm. you know, that kind of thing. And then mm-hmm. you have nurture, which is how you were raised, what environment you were brought up in, and how you saw the people you care about and the people that are your role models, how they treat each other, parents, or guardians, if
there's like actions and words that are dissonant,
mm-hmm.
then it becomes even more frustrating or sure. more difficult.
No, for sure. It's definitely one of those things that where, you know, and you know, like that could be a whole series of podcasts just mm-hmm. by itself, like on one subject. But if you want to break it down to really just move past all that stuff, and if it's really just something as simple as like one person wants alone time, there's no underlying issues, there's no big baggage or nothing. It's just something as simple as like they have a good relationship, but one person wants to have some alone time from time to time, the other person doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then that's a conversation that needs to be had. Say, look, right, you're in a relationship with me, you don't own me.
Yeah. Even marriage.
Yeah. Too. Well, that's what I mean.
Well, and the other thing too is like here's the thing about being married.
Yeah.
Is there are times when you're both giving 100%. Because this is my philosophy on marriage. You are giving of yourself to the other person to raise them up and to make them happy. And the other person should be doing the same thing back. Right. Now, and I'm not saying like make happy. Happiness is a choice. Contentment is a choice. Sure. But like doing the things that you know makes your person feel loved.
Why would you want to be with somebody? Right.
Right.
If you're just going to be miserable.
But the other thing of that is that's not always going to be the case. So sometimes it's going to be 80-20. Sometimes it's going to be 60-40, sometimes it's going to be 50-50, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you have to be able to go along with the ebbs and flows, but it can't always be
right
80-20.
Yeah.
So what I'm going to say to that is, if you're the person that wants alone time,
mm-hmm.
then set up a schedule for you to have that alone time, but that the other person, yeah, of course, this is like a communication thing. The other person has to respect that alone time and not interfere in your alone time, because then it doesn't become alone time. It becomes more stressful and it doesn't recharge your batteries.
Because
like think of an introvert, right? An introvert with an extrovert. And it's kind of like this, where like the extrovert craves social interaction and the introvert's like, okay, I'm good. But then all of a sudden I'm not, mm-hmm. and I need to like go and recharge. Like, that's not a commentary on the extrovert. That's not a commentary on what they want to do, but it's, this is, if you recognize that you need something, like need it, not like I just want it, but you actually need it to like recharge your batteries, then you need to go do that. And the other person should respect it as long as you're communicating those things openly. And I think with this particular couple,
sounds like that's what it is.
They've gotten better at the communication, and so it'll just get better. But I thought that was a good one. Mm-hmm. And then there's two more, but the answer for the dumbest and the biggest is the same. Okay. So I think I'll leave that one for the biggest or the dumbest. This is the last one.
The firearms one. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Guns.
This I'll leave this very last one.
Okay.
Him and I, or him versus me, versus him and I versus the problem.
Wait.
So
him versus me.
Right. Instead of he and I versus the issue. So whenever an issue comes up, we're battling each other instead of addressing the issue.
So she's talking more about like just the way they argue in the communication
issue
versus like in our case, a specific argument.
You're saying like teamwork, we're on the same team
versus
battling each other
to address the
issue as opposed to like joining forces.
Right.
To triumph over evil. Like think about it that way with our sword of togetherness or whatever. And I thought that was a good one because that's something that we've struggled with for sure. I mean, we've been together almost 2 decades. So there's been a lot of struggles, but.
Well, the fact that we're even doing this podcast now, it's like, I would say 5 years ago, that wasn't even, well, we had talked about, but then it was more of like a fitness thing. Cause we had the gym together. So.
Yeah. Which,
but even then that was just, there was a lot of contentious stuff going on there too. And not 100% communication.
Yeah. But I thought that was a good one because I feel like, obviously we're not the only ones that deal with that. And I think.
No, that's normal.
I feel like that is a problem or an issue that comes up with two people that are not a passive aggressive. They're just aggressive, aggressive or assertive, if you will. And, and they don't feel like they can, like they've grown up in a space where they don't feel like they can rely on the people around them. So they've had to do a lot themselves, or they've like moved through a lot of trauma and pain and things like that, by just stomping forward, which of course you got to keep moving forward because you just sit in hell otherwise.
Yeah.
But, and sometimes you got to be there for a minute, but you don't want to stay there. But, because that's something that we've dealt with. And the person that is saying this, I know this person and I can see why that would, like, it makes sense. We have some similarities, she and I. So you said to me, because we found that we were constantly fighting with each other instead of, we were fighting over things that we could have been joined together to address an issue and kind of resolve things. And you would say, we're on the same team. Mm-hmm. And I would be like, we're on the same team. But then I kind of figured out that, you know, you're right. So, because we are.
Yeah.
We are raising our kids together. It's not like I'm raising our kids and you're not, like, separate. We're in this together and we're not divorced, so we don't have to do it that way. And even, like, divorced parents that co-parent, they're on the same team.
Yeah.
They have to
be. No, you're still, you know, and if you're not, then you're not hurting each other. You're actually hurting the kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, your dad actually told us early on in our marriage. That, you know, knowing both of us and the individuals that we are and the work ethic and willpower that we have, that like if we figured out how to work together, we could build an empire.
Yeah.
Yeah. He didn't mean that by like you could just
stepping on the skulls of our enemies, climbing to the top.
No, he was basically saying you guys can accomplish big things and do whatever you want, basically, if you guys figure out how to work together in tandem versus you. Because, I mean, this was a life, what, one, two?
The twins know? Were.
Maybe the twins were. Yeah.
One and a half.
Yeah. Because I remember
we'd been married 6 years.
Yeah. Been together 10 years at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I remember your dad was like, you're over here, Alex, you're over here doing this thing. And then she's over here doing this thing. And then you guys live together and raise the kids. You know what I mean? And he goes, and you end up having these like passive aggressive like battles all the time. And you got to figure out how to like actually
just
work together.
Just aggressive.
Depends. But. Well, this was his observation. remember?
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think that's my observation is this, that I've realized this with age.
Is that wisdom.
The wisdom, the grace.
Silver hairs and the beards.
Right. The, I think successful, like solid relationships, and mind your relationship could crumble like at any moment, right? Mm. But ones that are successful, that have a healthy relationship, those are people that either A, have been together a long time and figured out a way through determination, stubbornness, work ethic, will, you name it, whatever, right? And they worked to be better and get better for, you know, a reason. I feel like that's kind of the category that we fall into, having been together almost 20 years and been through a ton of shit that quite a few people probably would have got divorced over.
Yeah.
Then there's people that went through that at a young age, got divorced, and then through those lessons figured out like their own crap, and then also like the crap they won't put up with mm-hmm. anymore. So then their second or third major relationship slash marriage is the successful one because they went through the crap and they learned from that experience. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. I think it kind of falls into two categories there, you know, and I know we know people in both categories, yeah. you know, ones that have been together for 30 years and been through everything and they have a pretty healthy relationship, and ones that have like, they're on their second or third marriage, but like you see, like this is the one that's
sticking.
Yeah. This is the one that's like, this is the happiest I've ever seen them. This is the, you know, this is, you know, and they because they've learned from their past mistakes, mm-hmm. you know? Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Cool. So those are them. Those yes. are all the biggest fight.
Biggest fights.
So cell phone limiting, one person wanting time and another not understanding, mm-hmm. Self remodels, passive aggressive mumbling.
I'm surprised nobody said porn.
Ooh. Wow. Okay.
No, I am. I'm surprised like nobody said that. Right,
maybe it's that, because it was my page.
What's that?
Maybe it's because it was my page.
What do you mean?
That they didn't say porn because I'm a lady.
What?
I don't know.
No, okay.
I'm a lady.
I'm a
lowercase L. I don't know because I had responses from men and women, and yeah. I don't know if maybe or maybe they don't consider that a fight. Maybe that's not a fight that they've had. Maybe it's
yeah.
not an issue.
Good point. Yeah. No, that's a good one.
It's not always an issue for people.
No, for sure.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. So that wraps up our first official episode
of the Hooligan and the Harrigan.
That's what I said.
You said Harrigan with a G.
No, I can't talk.
I know. And you have a podcast.
I have two now.
Yeah. Like what? What?
All right. So next week we will.
It'll be the dumbest fights.
Dumbest fights.
Which are like more fun. They're funnier.
They are funny.
They're not so heavy.
Yeah.
But so, we've had dumb fights too.
Oh God. Still have dumb fights. We will be like in the middle of a stupid fight, and one of us would be like, whatever, I don't care. Like, how do we get out of this? Like, get me off this boat.
I am diving off.
You win. I don't care.
12 angry men.
Yeah.
If there was a boat and they could only hold this many people, I will gladly jump over the side. Thank you. I don't want to have this conversation anymore.
All right. So if you have a stupid argument you'd like to share that you've had with your significant other, then
DM us on Instagram.
Yep, send it our way.
Either AM Strength or Cornerstone of America or our page, The Hooligan and the Harrigan, which is right. up. It has our graphic on it.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
I'm going to make vinyl stickers, so those will be up, and I'll probably make t-shirts eventually.
I'm for sure getting a hat.
Yeah, that needs to be a hat. We'll see how successful this gets before I make a big run of t-shirts, but stickers I can definitely get done. Because it's pretty freaking cool looking.
Yeah. So. This is fun.
Yeah.
All right. Till next week.
Bye.
Bye.